The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Today is the Feast of the Trinity, a solemnity, the highest form of liturgy, right? And I mentioned in the other masses, you know, we get really excited about a lot of other solemnities. You know, you have Christmas and Easter, and maybe Christ the King, a big feast. And you have the Trinity. It's like, okay, what are we supposed to get excited about? What's the heart of this mystery? And yes, it's a little more abstract. We're getting excited about God. This is God's feast. Jesus has a lot of feasts. The Holy Spirit has a lot of feasts, right? Mary has plenty of feasts. This is God's. This is about who God is. You say, okay, great. Who is he? He's three persons, one God. It's such a mystery, right? It's hard to wrap our heads around, but I want to hopefully help a little bit more. It's the most fundamental and perhaps the most practical, the most far-reaching implications, understanding who God is, even if it's a mystery. Why? Because everything that exists, all of creation, everything we experience, is in some way a reflection of God. So if we understand him and who he's revealed himself to be, his heart, the core, we understand how it works a little bit, the pieces, in a sense, we understand everything because it's the most universal, it's the starting point. From God, everything flowers. So if you understand him, you understand everything in some way. What's an example of this? In science, for example, atoms, all of material beings are made up of atoms, right? So if you understand the atom, the nucleus, electrons, protons, you figure out how that works, you can understand all of material world. And you can even make theories and project how material things that we don't know or don't experience or can't test, how they probably behave, because we understand how matter works. And you can say, well, that's mysterious how those all think. Yeah, you have to study, you have to understand it. But once you understand it, you can do amazing things. You understand everything. So what are we supposed to understand about the Trinity? God the Father, the creator, the generator. There is an aspect of God. There's a person of God that's the beginning, the creator, the origin of everything. Just like in a family, there's a father who's the origin of everything. He's the beginner. The family doesn't exist without the father. So all you kids, look down the pew and give your dad some credit. If he didn't pursue your mom, propose to her, commit to her, you wouldn't exist. The family wouldn't exist. The house you live in probably wouldn't be, at least it wouldn't be yours. The bedroom you have, like everything goes back. And I know the dads are like, yeah, finally, someone going to bat for me, right? Father's Day's coming. Hopefully you'll get all your kudos by then. But it's true. Without that, everything flows from it. And you can even understand a family getting to know the father. It's like, yeah, I know. I understand why. I know him. I could see how that's the way it is, right? Understanding, and sometimes that's negative. You're like, I know his, but also positive, like everything. So understanding God, you know, the generator, the creator, the beginning. So we can look at the world and say, I get to know God because look what he's generating. Look at the beauty. Look at the order. Look at the balance. Look at the giftedness. All this for us. Why? Because dad met mom and wanted to. Because God wanted to. God the Father, the creator, the origin. God the Son, the Savior, the one sent into the world to bring the family back. When the family rebelled against the Father, God sent the Son. We didn't know God or the Trinity the way we understand him now until Jesus arrived. The Trinity is a Christian feast. Our Jewish brothers and sisters don't celebrate the Holy Trinity. They don't believe in the Holy Trinity. Our Muslim brothers don't believe in the Trinity. They believe in God, one person. But we as Christians, when we saw Jesus and learned and received from him and saw him act with divine power and claim to be the Son of God and command us to go out, when we saw him rise from the dead and all his miracles, and we learned and saw how he changed and created a new truth, an access to God in a new way, we're like, oh, he saved us. He's brought the family back. He's forgiven the sins against the Father. He's gone and expressed, no, that's not the way your Father is. You misunderstand. You're rebelling against something that's not God. He loves you. And he brought the family back. He saved. He overcame sin. That's the Son. How oftentimes as siblings, to children, do we have to explain to the other siblings, hey, Nona, you've misunderstood Dad or Mom. Hopefully there's a kid in the family that does that. Or maybe each one steps up and does it at different times. Like, eh, no, that's not, no, that's not what they meant. Or that's not what they mean. Or no, it's really, you're just being, let me redeem, bring back together, right? That's what the Son does, a true Son. In fact, that's what the second reading's all about, right? It gave us a spirit to cry out, Abba, Father, because now we understand that God is Father, not just an authority figure, not just the rule follower or the rule giver, not just the creator, but love. We've understood the Father thanks to the Son. And then the Holy Spirit, that relationship, as we say, between the Father and the Son, that love that they share and that they expand and they give. That love between the two of them that couldn't just be two, couldn't stay just two. It had to expand, had to grow, had to give life. And so it does, just like in a family. Your parents' love couldn't just not expand, not grow. Their commitment, their decision to be together, to give themselves, to bring their own freedoms together and say, okay, I'm committed to you forever. That's expressed physically in their sexuality and their relationship. And out of that comes life. That love has a heartbeat, has a free will, starts to grow and expand. That's you, each one of you, the children, that expression of the love. So it is with the Spirit in God. We detect in God that he is eternal expansiveness, creativity, love, gift, expansion. That's what we see and we find in God. So when we reflect as Catholics, as Christians, when we look at the sources of revelation, how God's revealed himself to us through scripture and through tradition, as we reflect, we think, you know what? I start to see these three facets of God. He creates, and then he saves and comes personally, and then he brings us together through his Spirit. All those things express God. And so we say, God's not just creator and father and rule giver. And God isn't just love and mercy. He's also creator, rule giver, who asks for obedience. He's not just expansive love. It's also, he's also son and savior and sacrificial. He's all three reflect the divine persons of the Trinity, reflect God. So brothers and sisters, we as families, as individuals in our own souls, but also as families, creatures in relationship, we're called to reflect the Trinity. Your job is, or I didn't even say job, your happiness is, your fulfillment is reflecting that, reflecting God, being true to who you are as a gift created by God. So you are to imitate the Father in creating and doing and bringing good into the world. You're to imitate the Son by forgiving and loving and creating unity and expressing this is what our Father is about. You're called to imitate the Holy Spirit by loving, by bringing together, by creating unity and diversity, by accepting but calling towards the Father. We are all in our families called to imitate the Trinity. Not easy, right? And with this, we'll close. It's a challenge. It's difficult. It requires generosity of spirit going up because there's always sin. There's selfishness. There's the desire to pull back. It's a desire to affirm your independence and say, no. It's about me. You all have to adjust to me. None of this family business. I want my room, my door, and it's locked. And don't come in. It's legitimate, a little autonomy, but it's not a closed door. It's an open door. Who gave you the walls? Who gave you the door? God. It's a communion. It's both and. We're called to imitate that through self-giving love, through imitating Jesus in our mercy and our love, imitating the Spirit by creating unity. So let's pray for that grace in this Mass. Let's pray for the gift that who God has created us to be, and as he exists in us through his grace, through our baptism, through our confirmation, as when we commune with him in communion, that that power to live that mystery, reflect that mystery, be given to us, and that we not put obstacles to it, but freely embrace it and love it and become more and more reflections of the Trinity. Amen.